Today's program is brought to you by TechServe. For more information, visit techserve.com.
You are listening to You Look Hungry, the New Orleans Sessions. You are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio, broadcasting to you live from Pizza Delicious in the Bywater of New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm joined today by Pizza Delicious owners and pizza masters, Mike Friedman and Greg Augarden. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us and coming to our studio at Pizza Delicious. This is the first time we've ever had an outsider here. We use it for our own radio purposes.
So, okay, most of our listeners are not in New Orleans. So how would you describe what is Pizza Delicious? What are you doing here?
Greg, you want to take this one?
Yeah, Pizza Delicious is our very own two-night-a-week New York-style pop-up pizza restaurant. We started it a while ago, kind of in response to our unsatisfaction with the local pizza option. Kind of grew out of that. We didn't really know how to make pizza at the beginning, but we've had a steady process of teaching ourselves.
Yeah, and we knew how to eat pizza. That was the most important part. We have a good pizza like heritage. That's our area of expertise. So we went from there, I think.
Yeah, it was a real backwards learning process.
Yeah,
which was good.
You guys are both from New York. You're from Long Island, Mike, right?
Yeah.
They call it
the island, Strong Island.
Strong Island. And Greg, are you from Queens or Staten Island?
I'm from Queens. Rockaway Peninsula.
What?
Bell Harbor.
Yeah, he's a baller.
So when you guys are back home, like, what to you is the best pizza joint? And like, what is the characteristic of the perfect pizza slice?
There's a few that we like and talk about. I really like New Park Pizza in Howard Beach. It's like right off the Bell Parkway when you get off to go to Rockaway. It's just like real old school. They have a really hot oven that's really big and it looks cool. And their pizzas, they're always pretty consistent, always pretty good. Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I like some places that I've tried recently that are newer places, I guess, in New York, but really for me, it's just the places around my house where I grew up is like the pizza that I grew up with, Joann's, Attilio's. I always liked Joann's over Attilio's. That was the big thing. It's like, go to Joann's or Attilio's. And some people went certain places for certain dishes that they had or pizzas. But yeah, I mean, they're not like on anybody's like pizza blog about the best pizza in the country, but like that's definitely what I think of. But then I go to like awesome places, like Greg has taken me to DeFara's a couple times, and I'd never been, and he's not too far from there, and he's been there a bunch like growing up and stuff, and like I don't have that privilege, you know, I'm just on Long Island. But yeah, but I mean, that is amazing and really pretty, like, inspirational to think that I won't be doing anything else for the next 60 years except standing in front of an oven and making pizza.
You've sealed your fate.
Yeah, it's over.
Well, so, you know, first of all, why do you think that there is no good pizza in this city with the exception of you guys? Like, what's up with that? Bagels, you know, Stein's Deli is bringing in H&H bagels, right? And then there's Art's
used to
bagels.
Until H&H like pooped out.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah,
real talk. But I mean, really though, why do you think there's no? You're carving out a niche that has not previously been successful.
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely changed recently. There have been some more places that are like really into trying to make good pizza, but like when we went to Tulane here, you know, it was like that wasn't happening. I don't know, it's the same reason I guess why most of the places in the country like don't have good pizza. It's a little more surprising, I guess, because you're in New Orleans, so you're like, New Orleans is a food town, like they've got good everything, but like there's still so much room down here for like different kinds of cuisine that's just not happening yet. But I don't know. It's just, like, we tried, you know? I think we tried a lot of places and, like, hoped they would be, the, like, you know, like, taste like home and stuff, but it never really happened. I don't know.
Yeah, if people didn't grow up eating a certain style of pizza, the demand has to come from somewhere, you know? And there has to be people there to make it, so I think that kind of, you know, I mean, a lot of people who, like, are from New York might, like, get pizza down here and be like, yeah, it's, like, pretty good, but they always have the same complaints, you know? It's not like they're not going to eat it, because people still eat pizza, but they're always going to, like, make the two or three comments that we always made, you know? So we kind of just wanted to fill in that gap, not having people make the comments.
Stop making the comments.
Well, so how the hell did you come up with this idea to, like, open a pizza joint called Pizza Delicious, which the name itself is brilliant. Tell me the story of, like, how this came about.
Greg and I were roommates at the end of college, and so, you know, we didn't, like, know each other that well, but, you know, it's like we're both from New York, and then we started realizing we were both, like, pretty into food, and, like, started cooking dinner a lot together, and that was a lot of fun, and trying out, like, different things, and, like, you know, Greg was, like, a really good cook and into just, you know, showing me some different stuff, and then but yeah, I mean, it just came from that conversation. That's like, you know, at least once a week you want pizza, and in New York that's, like, the easiest thing to do is, like, oh, or, like, you just want a slice. Like, a slice is, like, one of the greatest snacks you can have, and it's cheap and it's easy, and it's like, where do you do that here? Like, you can't. And it was just some, like, goofy idea I think we had in the beginning. I was like, man, if somebody did this, like, if someone made New York style pizza, like, did it right, like, not New York, it's just, like, New York pizza, like, it'd be awesome, like, they do really well. And then it just turned into, like, well, why can't that be us? Like, why can't we do that? And it's like, oh, well, there are a lot of reasons. Like, we don't know how to make pizza is one of them. We don't know, have a lot of money. Like, how is this going to happen? I mean, that was the conversation over and over and over again. It was like, and then going back to New York to visit, like, family and stuff, and then being like, where'd you eat? Like, where'd you get a slice? Like, where'd you get Chinese food? Where'd you get a bagel? Or, like, you know, so that was, like, one of the most exciting parts about going home, too. So it's just, and that was the inspiration, I'd say. How that came to be Pizza Delicious, I don't know.
Well, so, you know, for listeners out there, can you illustrate the setup of, like, what's the experience like when you come to get pizza? Because it's definitely not your typical pizza joint.
You want to start this one? I mean,
yeah, so it's a good question, because I've always kind of wondered what it would be like to come get a pizza from us as a customer who had never been here before, but we can't do that, really, because we own this place. But so we're on a pretty residential street in a residential neighborhood. Our actual facilities are located in what's an old commercial bakery space, and we're talking old, probably over 75 years old. A lot of the equipment's pretty old, not that old, but our ovens are, you know, probably 40 or 50 years old now. And the space is not a traditional storefront, but it has been a bakery for a long time, so it is very well equipped, and people usually call ahead to order a pizza, and we will slot them in for a time, and we let them know where we are, and they come up, and you know, there's pretty much on a street, there's a little door, you come into like a little half an alleyway where you wait, and there's a little table there, and what else happens?
Yeah, and you just see into, it's just a door that's into a kitchen space, so we don't have anywhere for people to sit, and then they just kind of pop in, and sorry, we're having a little outdoor, there's a nice little bee,
giant bee
buzzing around us. So people just kind of come in, and they're like, yeah, we have a little sign out front, and then they come in, they're like, is this pizza delicious? And then we're like, yeah, and we just set up a little table in front of the door and give them their pizza. And we have a very big bee clientele. Our customer base is,
oh my God,
is mostly bees.
Well, and you have a really unique neighbor that you can hear sometimes, off and on, a turkey.
People come get our pizza just because of the turkey. Yeah.
Well, cool. Upon a recent experience myself, I noticed over the fence the turkey was staring at itself in the mirror next to the pizza oven, like looking through the window.
Very vain.
Very vain.
Turkey. He's a good looking turkey, though.
I think he's really into the pizza.
I think he's into the pizza, too.
Well, the turkey's actually a Saints fan, also, when the Saints games used to be on in the fall, when we were playing and something, and everyone on the block is watching the game, something good would happen, the, like noise and vibrations from the block, the turkey would just go crazy.
That's how
we knew there'd be a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, the turkey would just start,
so it's, it's hard to hear. The turkey, like, commiserates in silence, though, I think, when it's, like, a bad play.
Yeah.
You don't hear that.
Does he gobble with, like, the vibe of where the kitchen's at? Like, if you're really killing it, he's like, woo!
Yeah. Well, our employee, Christine, does a great turkey impression.
Yeah.
And people can't really even tell the difference at this point.
Yeah, she's really perfected. But, yeah, the turkey just gets amped up when you get amped up. Like, people are like, hey, what's up, Pizza Delicious? They're like, hey, and the turkey's like, I'm a turkey.
Well, you have so many popular, you've got some interesting fan bases. I think I've heard, like, former Mayor Ray Nagin loves your pizza.
That would be cool. I don't know if Mayor Ray does, but Mitch Landrieu is, like, big on our pizza. At least we think so, because he's come to get it a few times, and is awesome.
Are you allowed to reveal what kind he likes to eat?
He's a pepperoni guy. He really likes our pepperoni rolls, from what I've heard. He's awesome. He's a really cool guy. And I think that I hope that wasn't confidential information.
He's making the city better by eating your pizza.
I think so. He also, like, gave us kind of a hard time recently when I was telling him, like, you know, we're going to open up a full-time spot soon. He was like, really? Like, you're going to be open, like, all the time, and not just 2 days a week? And I was like, yeah. He's like, it's really not that cool. Like, I don't know if I'm going to go.
Yeah. How nice. Well, how would you describe, like, who is coming to buy your pizza? Like, what's the clientele base?
It is really all over the place.
Describe them as pizza eaters.
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of people from the neighborhood who come by. It's really, I mean, it's pretty amazing how different everyone is. We surveyed once to, like, try and find out, like, who is coming to get our pizza, and, like, 50% of the people around were, like, from the neighborhood, and 50% of the people were traveling from, like, all over the city, like, uptown, people from, like, Metairie, like, all over. I mean, people who are just at least excited to try us, but then a lot of people do come back, so they're just, I think they just get excited on the pizza and then tell their friends and tell more friends, so, like, it's just kind of all over. I don't know if there's any way to classify them, except that they're cool for coming here. we love them.
Only the coolest people.
Yeah, and they're, yeah. That's definitely, I mean, obviously the line.
Well, so how would you describe your pizza? Like, what's the style, and what kind of slices are you making? Pies.
No, you're way better at explaining the pizza.
I mean, we go for a real basic. We cook our pizza in a gas deck oven, so it's not like fancy Neapolitan wood fired. It also doesn't go through one of those conveyor belt ovens with the cross hatch patterns on the bottom. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty standard kind of New York style pizza where, like, you know, if you, like, take a slice, you can, like, pick it up and, like, you could, like, fold it. It's not gonna, like, crack like a cracker, but it's not just gonna, like, fall down in your lap. It has, like, a little bit of pliability.
Got the integrity.
Yeah, we're real big on the sauce. We make a fresh tomato sauce every time we're open, you know, from, like, high quality canned tomatoes and some spices, and we it's a pretty assertively flavored sauce, and I mean, those are the building blocks, and then, like, we like to get creative with our toppings. We have probably, at this point, we have about 20 different specialty pizzas. We only offer two of them at a time, so every time we're open, you could get one of the two that we're offering. This week, what was our menu this week, Mike? pizza?
We got a local marinated squash and zucchini pizza where we thinly slice those veggies and put them down on the pizza. They're marinated in a garlic thyme oil that we make, and we slice up some plum tomatoes, put it on there, a little mozzarella. We make like a gremolata breadcrumbs with like thyme and lemon zest and parsley, and like the garlic kind of comes from that oil, and those go on top, and yeah, it's pretty awesome. And then this in a couple days on soon we're making homemade hot Italian sausage from Berkshire pork that we do with peppers and onions. Nothing like too crazy. It's like sausage, peppers, and onions, but it's like really, it's like good. It's like what we want to eat, you know, that like no place else is doing, like just like New York-y like Italian food. So it's like all I want to eat all the time.
We're going to take a really quick break, but when we get back, we've got more from Mike and Greg of Pizza Delicious. You're listening to You Look Hungry. Stay tuned.
You're listening to In Shards by Flagline.
Man, I need a new computer. I guess I'm going to have to go to the Apple Store.
What? Don't go to the Apple Store. Go to TechServe.
What's TechServe? I thought Apple Store was the only choice.
No, you're crazy. TechServe is so much better than the Apple Store. They're New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. Plus, the store is really cool. You got to go check it out. They're located at 119 West 23rd Street.
Well, that settles it. I'm headed to TechServe.
TechServe is a proud sponsor of HeritageRadioNetwork.org. For more information, visit TechServe.com. That's TechServe.com.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm still your host, Helen Holliman, and hanging out in the back of Pizza Delicious in the Bywater neighborhood of New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm joined by Greg and Mike of Pizza D.
What's up?
It's probably 90 degrees out here, and not smelling too good, but the smells from inside the kitchen are wonderful. So before the break, we were discussing what it takes to, well, how this place started. Let's talk about your future. You guys are opening up a space. Can you talk a little bit about the project and how that came about?
When we started doing this, we had no idea that we were going to open a restaurant. We just like stumbled into like, oh, this is a kitchen space that people are sharing and it's super cheap to like get in here, like let's try and do this, like let's experiment, like let's pick an opening day. And then some people came, and then more people came, and so really because our customers are awesome, we are like have totally been set on like another path, and it was very clear. Even like a few months in, people are like, "What are you going to open up full time?" We're like, "Shut up, like, we're not doing that." But we are, and we've been working on it for like a year, trying to find the right space. We really want to stay in Bywater because that's where we've been doing this, and they've just been really supportive of us. Like the neighborhood's been so cool, and so it's like a big deal to stay here. And we're have construction going on at a place, and should be hopefully by the fall we're gonna have a restaurant. is cool.
Well, you guys are pretty young to be, like, it's a pretty amazing venture from start to finish in terms of, like, how this came about. And how, did you ever expect that you would be running a pizza joint? Like,
no. Never really grasped my
I was supposed to be teaching high school English right now. But it works, you know? Like, it's cool. It's like you're doing something you're happy with. Like, we got to eat the pizza that we've been wanting to eat, and then other people get into that, and then, you know, it's just... it's just became a business, like, all around. People are excited about it, we're excited, and they get more excited, and, like, and so... So it's really just kind of grown, like, very organically, and that's what's been so cool about it. So that these transitions, even though it's, like, a pretty major thing, it's been a very slow transition and just come about so naturally that it doesn't even seem that crazy that, like, this is what we're doing. Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know if you feel the same
way.
Yeah,
no, it feels... We've definitely gotten our heads around it in the past year now. You know, just in the past few months, we're making pizza a couple times a week and then running back and forth to the construction site, and it's, like, a little bit crazier, but still.
Yeah, it's very, I mean, I think at a point I thought I was going to, like, go to grad school and spend a lot of money on that, but it's, like, why not spend a lot of money on opening a restaurant? Like, that at least is your job that you're, like, buying into instead of the intermediary step of, I mean, that so many friends right now are just, like, are in grad school, gone to grad school, have no idea what to do, and, like, and we're just really fortunate that this has, like, totally been, has, like, panned out for us and, like, struck a chord with a lot of people to be able to support us to do this.
You know, pre-Katrina versus post-Katrina, would you say, like, do you think this would have been possible pre-Katrina? Like, has in the past couple years, do you feel like the possibility to open up a business is maybe easier than before, or the same?
Yeah, I don't know. I think New Orleans has always kind of had this vibe of, like, people are willing to, like, try out what you're doing and, like, kind of, like, seeing, like, they like, you know, small local businesses and seeing the people who are making your food and meeting them. And I mean, I don't know how much of how much it would have been different before the storm here making pizza. I think people still would have ate pizza. I don't know.
I think so. I mean, and I can't like BS that much, right, about, like, knowing New Orleans much before the storm. Like, I have been here, like, 8 years now, which is a long time, but only one of them was before the storm, and I was, like, a freshman in college, so, like, I don't know that much about what's going on, you know, but it does seem like, as far as I know, yeah, like, what Greg's saying, there's just always been, like, people are down to try it, and they like things that are good, right? Like, and they make those decisions, like, people... you know, come, they're down to try stuff, but if it sucks, like, you'll know about it, right? And people seem to be pretty positive about us, which is cool. So I hope it stays that way.
Have you ever had, what's, like, the gnarliest comment you've gotten? Or have you had bad feedback?
it's all been repressed. I don't know. I think people just don't come back if they don't like us, you know. People definitely give us comments like a negative, it's like that we're not open more, and
yeah,
so
they think it's kind of like a joke or a game, or like we're kind of just like kidding around, like, yeah, what kind of business is open 2 days a week,
like, or that this is hipster food, like I've heard that, you know, like it's hipster food, like I don't want to work on their schedule, but like it's out of necessity, this really isn't designed to be like the next coolest thing in dining. Like, we found this kitchen space is really inexpensive to get into, like we can only work so many days because there's other people who we share it with, so like here we are doing it. We didn't try and shroud ourselves in mystery, although it's like given us a level of appeal, I guess, you know, which is cool.
Can you talk a little bit about the other people that share this kitchen space? Like, what are they doing? What are their projects they're working on?
Laura Sugarman, who, if you heard a door sound in the background, was just leaving the kitchen. she makes awesome bagels, Sugarman's bagels, and also has been getting into baking some breads and stuff at some of the farmers markets for Holly Grove Market and St. Copa Market. And then Ann Churchill has been the one who's like, she was here first. She's kind of like the kitchen mama, and she does a lot of catering and stuff. And right now she's on tour with Dave Matthews, is one of the four chefs on his tour, and she's been doing it the past couple summers, and she seems to have a pretty good time with it. She also went on tour with Glee. I think she likes
the musical.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, wow. The tour of Glee.
Weird.
Yeah. But she's not a Dave Matthews fan or a Glee fan, I would say, like, at all. But she does make a lot of, like, vegetarian, like vegan food and stuff like that, so it's a good gig for her. Yeah.
How long did it take you guys to develop your pizza crust recipe? Like, what was that process like? Were you punching each other in the face? Like, it seems like
with
a very specific.
I mean, at the beginning, there was definitely some, like, divided pizza boxes with, like, numbers 1 through 10 on them. I don't really remember how any of that worked out. We kind of...
It was like, fairly scientific, but, like, neither of us are science people, so as much as that can be. like, we tried to think of the different variables and baking and all this stuff. I mean, yeah, you know, it's like, all right, this dough will, like, up the amount of water in it, which, like, would make sense if we had any idea what we were doing, but, like... We just found some recipes and, like, went on a bunch of forums and, like, as a base kind of online, and then went with those and then tried to experiment off of that. So we had somewhere to start. And then we knew, like, very specifically what we were looking for. So we're like, when we get it, like, we're going to know what it is. Like, we're going to be happy with it. And so, yeah, I mean, a lot of our early experiments, I'd say about a month of experimenting, we're like, man, we can't stretch the pizza enough to make it 18 inches. Like, this dough must be no good. And we found out we just, like, weren't stretching the pizza dough right at all. Any experiment we'd done up until that point was, like, completely invalid. like, we just sucked at what we were doing. So yeah, it was just a lot of that, like, coming in, trying a few different batches. Like, all right, this one's the best. Let's try this one now and see if we can make that better. And then, like, eventually it was like, man, so it's an 18-inch pizza and, like, kind of tastes pretty good. Like, let's go with it. And that was the biggest part, was getting the dough. It's like, we were like, we can make food to put on top of it that'll taste good. Like, we just didn't know how to make the crust, you know?
Does humidity play a factor at all? Like, do you have any problems with pizza dough here because it's so humid?
Yeah, the heat and humidity, it changes how we make our dough a little bit. We do, like, a cold ferment or cold rise of our dough where it goes in the fridge for a few days, and, you know, if it's too hot when you're making the dough, it kind of, like, speeds up that rise, and then your dough is kind of, like, exploded before you get to use it. But we kind of just adjust a little bit when it's so hot out. The dough doesn't need as long to come to room temperature. We use ice water when we make our dough, which kind of can bring the temperature down and chill the dough out a little bit. But yeah, I mean, there's seasonal adjustments that we make, and they're always like, it always takes us a little while to get used to them again. But.
Yeah, I think it was easy too that we, like, created the dough recipe in this environment to start with. It's not like we came from New York with, like, all this pizza making experience. We're like, man, the dough just can't get it right. It's like, this is really the only thing we knew. So it just kind of worked like that. And then, yeah, the heat is just kind of crazy sometimes. It's caused some pretty large panic attacks.
Are you guys planning on having any other items besides pizza and salad and garlic knots at the restaurant?
I'd do, like, a couple pastas on the regular. We're really... not an earthquake. yeah, we want to have a couple pastas and, like, always a couple salads. And we do a salad here, we do a pasta there, you know, right now. But I want to be more consistent with that. You know, just really simple stuff, like keeping it how we're doing it now and just focus on the pizza and the like, limited menu we're going to have, I think. And we'll see what we come up with. You know, like, we can always grow it, but we got some good advice to kind of just, like, keep it simple. And And I think in the beginning we had that idea of being more of the Italian restaurant that, like, it's, like, all over the place that has, you know, chicken parm a million ways or, like, veal parm. You know, and it's, like, the same thing over and over again, but there's the chicken, veal, and, like, a section. But just having a lot more food, I think we're going to keep it pretty easy and straightforward. And that seems to be cool with everybody else because it's worked so far.
That seems wise because, you know, Gordon Ramsay on Kitchen Nightmares was always yelling at people that have too many menu items on their menus.
We got an email about like casting for Hell's Kitchen. Like, if you're interested, on our Facebook page.
Was that an insult or is it?
I know. Well, Hell's Kitchen's just the one where you go on and you're like, I want to win this like show and have Gordon Ramsay yell at me all the time. But I don't think either of us would do like a great job on.
I've never seen the show. I've seen Kitchen.
It sounds like purgatory. I just wouldn't want to go there. But what are some of the other restaurants around town that have been really like helpful or inspirational to you? Like, what are some of your favorite places to eat and some of the chefs that you dig?
What do you dig on? What do you dig on?
Well, first and foremost, Dan Stein of Stein's Deli has been extremely helpful to us in every aspect of starting our business, but most importantly, when we were just two kids wondering how to get enough cheese to make pizza, he was like, I can order that for you and you can come pick it up. And we still do that. So
the turkey and loves Stein's Deli. Loves Stein's Deli.
So he's been the biggest help to us, really, out of anybody around. I mean,
yeah, he's a workhorse, you know, like he just, and he's doing what we're doing, bringing like a Philly style deli like down New Orleans and doing it in a way that like people aren't like, screw you, you're just some Yankee. Like, they like what he's doing, and so that's also cool, you know, for us. And then, I mean, for me, like, Nathaniel Zimmet at Boucherie is my culinary mentor, and he's awesome, and I went from teaching to, like, cooking in a kitchen and working for him for free for a few months, and he just kind of, like, took me in and was like, that's okay that you don't know anything. Like, I'm awesome. I'm going to show you a ton of stuff and like you're gonna work your ass off and like you're gonna love it. And so he just taught me a ton of things and it's been like super supportive of us and helping us out, and he still helps us get some like food and supplies. And he worked one night for us, which was like ridiculous because he's way more talented than me or Greg, and he was just like next to me. Is he topping pizzas or something? And I was like, dude, you gotta hustle. And it's the only time I'll ever say that to him. You know, like, it was hilarious. But he's amazing. His restaurant's great. And definitely keeping prices down and, like, giving food to the people is, like, his whole philosophy. Like, good food for inexpensive. Like, that's what we want to do here with the pizza. Like, pizza shouldn't be a lot of money. And you should be able to eat a lot of it for not that much money. And that's what we're trying to do. At least now, until we have a restaurant where we raise the prices 40%. No, but that's what the other great part, and that's the crazy thing here, is people are making like 16-inch pizzas that are like tiny, right? And they're charging, you know, it's like $25. It's like, you're crazy, you know, just like. But now it's a bit different. The landscape's changed a bit in the pizza world, I think.
Is it pizzadelicious.blogspot.com?
Yeah, soon to be pizzadelicious.com. We bought that guy from some sucker in England.
Who's your largest competitor?
He thought he was going to trick us, and he was like, yeah, there's a lot of demand for this website. It's going to cost you like $500. And then he emailed us at Pizza Delicious, not knowing it was us. He like found our blog spot. I was like, hey, do you guys want to buy this website? Like, and we're like, yeah, for like $20, dude. And so we got him down so much, he had no idea. He tried to mess with us, we got him.
Well, I'm very excited to see the new space, and hopefully sometime later on this year.
Fall 2012.
If the Mayan calendar doesn't run out like it's supposed to. thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show, and best of luck to you in the new venture. And
to the turkey, most importantly. Thanks for being a part of the show as well. Oh, there it is. Thanks to Jack Inslee, the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio and Roberta's. I'll see y'all next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our programs archived on our website or by searching iTunes for Heritage Radio Network. You can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website. Thanks for listening.